Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us worshiping God and praising His name, and I say it every Sunday. I'll continue to say it. I'm not going to stop saying it. There's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. And this is a special Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And you may be wondering, what in the world is Pentecost Sunday? What does that mean? Did I just walk into a Pentecostal church? Yeah, you did. And I'll get to that in a little bit. I'll explain that a little bit more. But Pentecost Sunday is the day that Jesus promised we would get a helper, an advocate, a comforter, somebody that was going to encourage us and empower us and equip us and lead us into the future of everything that He had for His church. Today is the day that we received what Jesus promised, and it's exciting. But let's break it down a little bit. We're going to talk about Pentecost Sunday a lot. We're going to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And whenever we hear the Holy Spirit, sometimes we instantly put our walls up. We get confused, or I'm not sure about that. And we're going to talk about it all today. But Pentecost Sunday is amazing. It's important, and it's a gift. When we break down Pentecost, Penta means 50. It's exactly 50 days from Easter. And it's amazing to think 50 days ago was Easter Sunday. 50 days ago was the day that we celebrated the fact that the tomb was empty and we get to walk in the power and the might of that empty tomb. 50 days ago, we were gathered in here for four worship experiences. We got to celebrate the fact that there were 853 people here on Easter Sunday / Saturday night. That's amazing. That's celebratory. 50 days later, are you still walking in that power every day? Are you still being encouraged and empowered and equipped? Pentecost Sunday is designed to wake you up again, to excite you, to ignite you, to help you realize that you weren't created to walk in the power of the empty tomb alone. Jesus did exactly what He said He was going to do. He's sending you and us and His church a helper. And we're going to pray before we jump in further. Father God, I thank You so much for who You are and who we get to be because of You. Lord, I pray that You would continue to move in this place today, that You would speak to the hearts of Your people. And God, that we wouldn't just be hearers of Your word, but we would then be doers of Your word. We would walk outside of these walls and walk out what You speak to us today, what You empower us to hear today. And God, I thank You for everything that You've done. I praise You for everything that You're doing. And God, I speak with great expectation for everything that You have planned to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's turn to Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. We're going to read. When the day of Pentecost arrived, everybody say arrived.
Arrived.
It's here. Today's the day. They were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. Oh, great. Here we go. We're going to start talking about tongues right off the bat. Yeah, we are. Because we believe as a Pentecostal church in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are alive and well today. Now I'm going to go back to the Pentecostal statement. Pentecostal is not a religion, okay? It is not a denomination. It is that we believe in the day of Pentecost. We believe that the Holy Spirit came and He is who He says He is, and He's alive and well today, moving in and through His people, just as Jesus, God, promised He would. We're Pentecostal. That doesn't mean that we're running around the church and jumping over the chairs, and there's tambourines and organs all the time and everybody got thunder sticks and they're, that doesn't mean you're Pentecostal. That's what everybody thinks. And you got to have purple rugs and purple chairs and purple ceilings. No. Now, if God tells me like, hey, Nick, I need you to jump on the chairs and run around and you're going to get a tambourine and all that stuff, maybe I'll do that. And then Nate and Jordan will be like, listen, you may be called to use a tambourine, but just not here. Not here. You do that at home. First time I realized that Pastor Rick was gangster was whenever flags stopped being here. Not at the White Oak Campus at North Braddock. He's like, listen, you may be called to wave a flag, but you're called to do that at home, in your front yard. Worship with your flag at home. Like, but we're talking big flags, like the ones you need to get some energy in. Okay, that doesn't make you Pentecostal if you're wild and crazy. That doesn't, no. That you believe in the day of Pentecost. You're Pentecost. Okay? We good? Let's move on. Tongues. Speaking in tongues. The gift of tongues. We believe in that gift. I speak in tongues. I build myself up in my most holy faith. Is it the gift of the Holy Spirit? No. Is it the only gift of the Holy Spirit? No. Is it one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Yes, that is what we believe. Is it the only sign of you getting the gift of the Holy? No. Is it the most confusing, scary, and the one that everybody gets hung up on? Yes. Did I get confused and scared about it when I didn't know what it was? Absolutely. My wife can testify to that. The first time that I heard somebody speaking in tongues, it was during worship. It happened a few times, but this time it was weird. And I was concerned because I'm a caring, compassionate person that notices what's going on around me. I was like, hey, Rach, is your mom okay? Do we need to do something? Because time is of the essence. And if she's having a stroke, I want to make sure we jump on this. And she was like, no, she's speaking in tongues. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. I was like, what is that? She's like, I'll tell you later. I said, okay. Now, I had faith like a child. And I said that to Rachel one day. I said, babe, I just have faith like a child. I don't know why I don't doubt. And she said, that's one of the things that God blessed you with. I was like, I don't doubt. I trust. It's explained to me. It's taught to me. I learn it. I walk in it. And she's like, it's just a beautiful thing that God has given you. And God's going to use that within you. Don't get hung up on something that confuses you and scares you. The enemy loves that. He loves confusion and fear and scaring you. If you're getting hung up on the speaking of tongues, and you're staying stuck there and you're not experiencing the Holy Spirit and everything that he has for you because of that gift, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the enemy loves that. It's like, I'll keep him stuck there. And the enemy's probably like, oh, shit. He's probably like speaking in tongues, being excited about it. I'm just saying. Acts 2, verse 12. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? It's okay to be perplexed. It's okay to be fearful. It's okay to be confused. But if you stay there, you will not experience everything that God has for you. If you stay in, this is just who I am, and I'm scared, I'm fearful, I'm not going to learn anything new, the enemy loves that. And it's just that same way with the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example, okay? It was pouring down rain just a few moments ago. Like, to the fact, like, I thought we were going to have to, like, start talking about building an ark. Like, it was pretty crazy. Like, it's rained. The weather's confused. It's April showers bring May flowers, not April, May, June showers. Flood out July. Okay? But here's, I'm going to give you the old Nick is dead. I buried him. And I'm getting to bury him in parts, okay? The old Nick used to be so afraid of trying new things and doing new things and figuring out new things that he would just right away default to the way he used to do things. Like if something broke, I'd just go get a new one, or I'll pause there and just go to what my illustration is here. Friday, I'm worked all day. I take Fridays off. It's like family day, but I've had the opportunity to do some stuff on the side, and I've had so much fun doing it. I'm learning something new. I love it. It's so exciting. But I worked all day, and I get home, and there is water in my basement, all over my basement. It rained all day. I'm like, this is great. And it looked like it was shooting out of my main water line. And I was plumbing all day. And I thought I was going to get the plumb later. But here's the catch. I can't turn my main water off because my valve's broken. So I was like, oh, we're going to have to change this live. It's going to get real. But it wasn't shooting out from the water line. It was shooting out from the wall. It's like, oh, that's fun. So maybe it was shooting out from the faucet from the hose. So I go outside and I look, and it's not the hose faucet. It's the giant reservoir of water that is collected next to my house that is now pushed through my foundation. I'm like, well, where did this water come from? So new Nick, because old Nick's dead, remember, gets a ladder. I don't go on ladders, not because I'm afraid of heights, I'm afraid of falling, and not because I would be clumsy and fall off the ladder. There's weight limits on ladders that I'm afraid of, but I got past that fear, okay? Climb up, the gutter's falling, it needs reattached, the downspout is clogged because of the new roof that we got, thank you Nationwide, they were on our side, and I realized, and there's leaves that have turned to tar, jamming the gutters and the downspout and all these things. So I'm like, okay, that's where all the water's coming from. It's just shooting. Old Nick would have panicked and waited for somebody to come and help and do that. So new Nick got on the roof with a ladder, cleaned the gutters out, ran a hose through the gutters, down the downspout to the street, and made sure that it was completely flowing. And all the while, I'm so proud of myself. Then new Nick went a step further and went all the way to Home Depot, bought gutter guards, went up on the street, put the gutter guards in all by himself, and then it got dark. It's 10 o'clock at night at this point. It's still raining. And new Nick was like, I better just stop. No, new Nick went downstairs and got his spotlight and lit up his house like the Griswolds and finished it. And guess what? It was pouring down rain, and Rachel standing next to me during worship. I was like, hey, babe, is the basement dry? She's like, yep. And I was like, Jesus, you get... Because I was like, the illustration ain't going to work if the basement had water in it now, right? Here's why I told you this whole entire illustration. If you don't believe that God is who he says he is, and he will lead you to places that you're uncomfortable with, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you, protect you, encourage you, empower you, equip you. If you don't believe that he is everything that he says he is, you're going to stay stuck where you're at, experiencing the same things that you've always experienced. If you don't believe that he can lead you, guide you, protect you, push you further than you've ever gone before, you will stay stuck where you're at. You got to get uncomfortable with being uncomfortable and realize that he is the comforter. Who said amen right here? Because there was one. Thank you. There's 250 people in here. Yeah. Amen. Made you uncomfortable, right? Listen, he is who he says he is. And that is what Pentecost Sunday is. It's to wake you up. They were perplexed. They were scared. They were amazed, though, at what they were about to experience. Today is the birthday of the church. Happy birthday. You want to sing like regular happy birthday or the Stevie Wonder happy birthday? Stevie, happy birthday to you. Happy. Listen, Stevie sang that song. Stevie sang. He can see too, I'm just saying. Listen, five times Jesus said the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit would do. And it was better if he left. It was better if he left so that the helper could come. The helper, the comforter, the advocate, John 14:16. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. I will ask the Father and this helper, this comforter, this advocate will come to be with you, to lead you, to guide you, to protect you. To teach us and to remind us, John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to a remembrance of all that I've said to you. These words of Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the truth that is given to us in the Word of God. Listen, the Bible was written by man, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, God. Man held the pen, but the Holy Spirit wrote it. God wrote it. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would do surgery within our hearts today, that your Holy Spirit would expose our thoughts today, that your Holy Spirit would teach us today and remind us today of who you are and what your word does and says and the things that we need to be reminded of, Lord. God, even reawaken things that have fallen asleep in our lives, the visions, the dreams that we once had. Teach us and remind us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't even have to say everybody said. Whew, I'm fanning myself too. It is. We should hand out fans. If we're a Pentecostal church, we should hand out fans. Rob, should we do that? Absolutely. Lennon has one from Dollar Tree. It's a flag. And he just goes, whoo. He's very patriotic. The Holy Spirit is to remind us to testify of Jesus. But when the Helper comes, when I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. The Holy Spirit is to help us bear witness, to testify, to give evidence of. You weren't created to just do this all on your own. There's supposed to be fruit of the Spirit in your life, and people are supposed to see it. You're not just supposed to testify only by your words and what you say, but how you live and how you conduct your life and the way that you walk and the way that you live and the way that people see you, that's to testify and bear witness of the power of Jesus. We don't just need to have words and things to say. It's how we do things. People that first meet Jesus and they have a changed and transformed life, so many people then come to meet Jesus because of that person, usually, because they know so clearly who that person was and who they've become. People can debate doctrine. People can debate theology. But people cannot debate a change and transform life. They can't do it. It doesn't work. You were this. You are becoming this. Fill in the blank here. You were a drug addict. You were an alcoholic. You were a womanizer. You were this, 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 and that. You are becoming this. That is the Holy Spirit and the fruit of Him in your life, and it's bearing witness. People see it. You're giving a report without even saying anything. And because of that report, because of that evidence that is being shared, the Holy Spirit will use that to bring healing and comfort, not only in your life, but in the lives of others. He will use that. You will be used to not only receive courage and power and boldness from Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you will be used to give that to others. I'll give you an example. Everybody like examples? I love examples. I love when I'm reading something and it says example. It's my favorite. Or when you're watching a training and they're like, example time. I'm a visual learner. I was at Home Depot the other day, which you can't complete a home project without making 37 trips to Home Depot. You can't. And I've been making a lot of trips to Home Depot recently. And Home Depot, by the way, just so you know, I learned this from somebody, it is not Home Depot. It is Homey Depot, the Homey Depot, because you make a lot of friends there. Okay? Just so you know, just wanted you to catch up, be on the same page. North Versailles Home Depot is slowly but surely becoming like a campus of the White Oak campus of Bridge City. It's like a sub-precinct. Okay? Ken and Cassidy Johnson kind of started that. They were like the founding co-pastors. Now they've launched other locations at the executive branch of Home Depot. But you will be used to bring healing, comfort, and power and courage to people and their lives. Whenever your life is testifying to Jesus. I was there, I was checking out at the Home Depot the other day, and somebody came up to me after I was done checking out, and they said, hey, do you have time? And instantly I wanted to say, no. But I said, yeah, I do. What's up? I said, I need to introduce you to somebody. They're in the paint department. They're really struggling. I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. So I walk into the paint department, and there's somebody hunched over. They're crying. And he's like, I just pulled him out of his car. He was in the parking lot. And this kid, 23 years old, was getting ready to end it. But he knew Jesus. And all he needed reminded of was that he had an advocate, a helper, an empowerer, an encourager, and somebody that was going to walk through with him in power and courage and strength. When I walked up, he was like this. Tears dripping onto the counter. When we walked away, he walked away with his shoulders back and his head held high. And he was walking, I knew where he was going. And he's already signed up for a group. Amen. And here, wait. Not at our church. He signed up at a group at another church that I know of. And that's good. You know why? Because we're not rival gangs. Amen. We're the church. We're the church. Now, I know that church. I know what they preach, practice, and believe. And I know what he's going to receive. And I know what he's going to get. I know the pastor. I know that he's going to be encouraged. He's going to be empowered. He's going to be able to be told that he can walk in boldness and power and strength. And not any of that is his own. It's the Holy Spirit. And when you're walking in that and you're testifying of Jesus, it's going to automatically, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you of sin, but it's also going to convict the world around you of sin too. People are going to want to change. And everybody's like, oh, but you know, you can't give that example, Pastor. People just want to change around you because you're the pastor. No. This happened way before. Oh, I'm sorry for cussing around you. Oh, I'm sorry for drinking around you. Oh, I'm sorry for smoking around you. I'm sorry for... Stop apologizing. Do you know who Jesus hung out with? If I'm not hanging around people that are doing those things, I'm hanging around the wrong people sometimes. Jesus said to be in the world, not of it. And that's a different preaching, but we'll get there soon. Convict the world of sin, John 16, verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning the sin and the righteousness and judgment. God doesn't point out all condemnation to condemn. God convicts for a change so that grace will be experienced, so that the Holy Spirit can convict us. I love when I'm around people, when Rachel and I are around people, when we're together with people, and they're like, I'm deciding to change this. And we're like, who told you that? Who told you to do that? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. And we get to say, that's the Holy Spirit moving in your life. That's God encouraging you to turn from sin, to turn from these things that had a grip on you so that you can move forward. Let me give you an example of this. You like example time?
Yeah.
Okay. My wonderful mother-in-law, which, Deb, I love you with all my heart. I appreciate you. I'm so blessed. I'm not kidding around. I have the best mother-in-law in the world. Okay. Now, don't get all proud and puffed up, okay? I could say other things, too. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Kind of. When I met Rachel, it's almost, we're close to being together longer than we've been apart, which is amazing. We'll celebrate 15 years of marriage this July. July 9th. You know, when we started dating, I bought Rachel a rose every July 9th for the first year leading up. Like, the first month I bought her one, the second month I bought her two, third month I bought her three, so on and so forth. And then the 12th month I bought her a dozen roses. And I reminded her of this. And she's like, no, you didn't. And Rachel's mom was like, sweetie, yes, he did. The Holy Spirit will remind us of things. But the conviction part. I remember sitting at the dining room table looking at Deb. I was like, I can't wait. Like, when I get older, like, I'm going to have, like, the steel room and a basement, like a kegerator, and, you know, it's going to be Yingling, and it's going to be super cool, and I got all this memorabilia. And she's like, that's so sweet. That's nice, sweetie. I love that for you. That's great. Now, I know that Rachel's mom probably then went into her prayer closet with her Bible and was like, oh, robo shit, oh, Jesus. And then she probably told Grammy, and then Pappy probably got involved, and then they weren't praying for anything other than for God to change who I was currently and what he was doing in my life. They didn't try to change me. They prayed that God would. Rachel never tried to change me. She prayed that God would, and that I would be convicted of things in my life, and those things would go away. And they've fully gone away. Fully. Now, I will tell you this. I'm working on the whole kegerator thing. I'm going to be the first person in the Pittsburgh area to have Turner's tea on tap in my house. And I know this because I've spoken to Turner's. I've spoken to Steve Turner. I'm serious. I know that nobody has done it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have the thing. I'm going to do it. Just to say that I've done it. I know how long it lasts. I know the shelf life. I know how much I can put in. I know that I can go to Turner's in Penn Hills and get it filled. I got it. If you try to do this before me, we're going to have problems. Just letting you know. God doesn't point it all out to condemn you. God does it to convict you so that you can then be changed. Other people can see the change, and that change can be used to help change them. People will see the fruit in your life and they'll want it. Then, once we allow that to happen, he guides us into things to come. John 16, verse 13, when the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you that there are things to come. He will guide you into what's to come. Listen, I'm so excited for what's to come for Bridge City Church. I'm so excited for what's to come in the lives of so many people within Bridge City Church. And I'm so excited that you're not alone in that, in any of that. He's going to lead you, guide you, empower you, and challenge you. He's going to call you to things you're uncomfortable with. He's going to call you to things you're fearful of. He's going to ask you to do things that you don't think you can do. But when you say yes to those things, you're going to be amazed and in awe of who God is. And he's going to meet you every single time in the sometimes the oddest of places. Did I think I was going to get an illustration for Pentecost Sunday while I was up on the ladder in the rain, pulling muck and dirt and tar out of my gutters? No. But he speaks in everything. You just got to listen and be looking and open to it. The Holy Spirit filled his church so that we would have evidences in our people, so that people around us would be changed, so that we would have courage, conviction, conversions, and community. So that we would have courage, a boldness, a voice to speak up. Sometimes we think courage is just, I'm gonna speak my mind on Facebook, oh, and I'm gonna do it anonymously. Oh, man. Woo! There's so many posts happening right now in our community that it's not even anonymous member anymore. It's anonymous member 47632. Like, they have to put numbers after them now. Oh, I'm courage and boldness. That's me, anonymous member 263442. Boldness is not us doing something on Facebook or social media or wherever. Boldness is you going against what the world tells you to do. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and White Oak and McKeesport and Versailles and North Versailles and Irwin and North Huntington and everything in between, Elizabeth Township, and everywhere else that people come to Bridge City Church. Listen, I'm humbled and encouraged and empowered because I know that there are people in this room that drive an hour and over every single Sunday. Why? Because they're experiencing life. Peter experienced a life-changing event, and he continued to walk it out and encourage and empower. But listen, he got bold. Peter, 50 days earlier, he denied Jesus and went back to fishing. But when he received the Holy Spirit, he had a humbling moment, a confident giving moment, and he spoke up and started to encourage and empower and preach and teach and walked in boldness and spoke up. He got restored with one experience with the Holy Spirit. He got brought back to life with one experience with the Holy Spirit. Listen, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. But I know that one experience with the Holy Spirit will bring you back to life. I know one Pentecost Sunday that wakes you up will bring you back to life. I know one moment with him can bring you back to life to move forward. And I know that whenever you get convicted of something you need to change, you can move forward into everything that he has. Conviction, Acts 2, 37. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to other apostles, brothers, what should we do? There's action. The word of God should pierce your heart so much that you want to move forward and change. It's not that God's pointing their finger at you, like, you got to do this. No, you should want to do this. This took you here. This is going to move you here. Don't fake it till you make it anymore. Come on, stand on it. Come on. You had two standers with you. I'll stand with you. Come on, we'll all stand. Listen, if you continue to walk it out, other people will see it. If you're bold and courageous, other people will stand with you. Come on. Stand on it. Now let's just keep standing. Let's keep going. Here we go. The Holy Spirit will move to conversions. We can keep standing. It's fine. I like it. You know why I don't stand sometimes and why I sit? It has nothing to do with my feet and infection anymore. I get self-conscious that I'm blocking the screen for you guys. I really do. I do. I do. We need a bigger screen, higher. It's only 42 inches off the ground. I'm a lot more than that. I don't want to block the screen. You can sit now. Unless she stands again, she'll do it. Come on, somebody. Acts 2:41. Before we think about conversions, I want you to think about the amount of people that could fill this room. 286 chairs in this room. We can't fit one more. We cannot fit one more chair in this room. I mean, we could, but there wouldn't be any aisles. There wouldn't be any throughways. You wouldn't be able to fit a wheelchair. You wouldn't be able to fit a walker. You wouldn't be, like, we could fit a couple more chairs, but it wouldn't be safely done. Those who believed in what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. We believe for 4 every single Sunday at the White Oak campus alone. Just people that meet Jesus in a real way, give their life to Jesus. 4. That's 2,996 less than happened that day. Easter Sunday, 853 people attended the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. That's our high watermark. We've always hit our high watermark 2 years after we hit it. Like, we're on a 2-year cycle. So 2 years from now, we will be at 853 people at an average at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. That's just what's going to happen. I don't want to wait two years. I don't want to just be on this status. I want to see more conversions and more conversions and more conversions and more conversions. I want to see more people meet Jesus so that they can come alive. Acts 2:41, the church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria, White Oak, McKeesport, the surrounding areas, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord and encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and also grew in numbers. They lived in the fear of the Lord. The enemy's totally fine with you just coming to church. The enemy's totally fine with you just praying at home. But when you start becoming the church, that's when the gates of hell start to shake. That song we sang, that's when the gates of hell start to get ticked off. The enemy's like, oh man, now I got to go into overdrive. Now I got to really go into overdrive in Isaac and Charlene's life. You start being the church, it's different than just going to church. When you start living it out, in the eyes of other people see it. Changes things. Now listen, last week I was very obedient to God and I didn't preach on what I always preach on when it's a standalone message. I didn't do what everybody thought I was going to do and preach on community. But this week I'm also being very obedient to God and I'm doing exactly what he told me to do. So let's talk about community. Acts 2, verse 42, my favorite verses in the Bible. This is what we're celebrating today. This is the birthday of the church, and this is the party. All the believers, everybody say all the believers.
All the believers.
Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and the prayer, and a deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Let's keep going. Verse 44. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property, their possessions, and shared the money with those in need. They met in homes and for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. They worshiped together, they prayed together, they ate together, they followed the teacher and the teaching. And when they all started doing that, it didn't say some of the believers, it said who? All the believers. Many miraculous signs and wonders took place. And they were in awe of God all the while. I want to remain in awe of God every single day. Oh, we're not seeing miracles. Yes, you're a miracle. I'm a miracle. There's a guy leaned up against that pole right now on a phone, FaceTiming from the Philippines, who's a miracle. You're like, I didn't know that. I know you didn't know that. But it is 11:52 p.m. in the Philippines right now, and he's there for the next 3 months for work, and he's FaceTiming in because he didn't want to miss the community he has with you all. Good, everybody turn to him, wave to him. He's right there. I'm serious. He's right there. That's community. And you're like, I don't have that. Sign up for an activity group. I don't have that. Get baptized on June 29th. Outwardly show the change that God's created and done within you and let the community around you know about it. Stop just coming to church and be the church. Show everybody. God's done this within me. Now I'm ready to walk it out with the help of the Holy Spirit. You're not called to do it alone. You're not called to do it alone. All the things we just read in Acts 2 starts with verse 38, though. If you don't have a day, a time, place a moment where you've repented of your sin. You need that day. All that we've talked about today, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Helper, the conversion, the conviction of sin, the gift of community, that's all benefits of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You receive the forgiveness and the payment for your sin by receiving everything that he did, by repenting of all that you've done and what's done been done to you. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want today to be your day. June 8th, 2025, Pentecost Sunday, And if you don't have that day, I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done, because it is a public thing. And just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. He's talking to me right now. Anyone at all. Don't let today pass. Thank you, Jesus. Don't allow fear to hold you back. Be bold and courageous. Anyone else today? Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for who we are created to be. Lord, I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we walk outside of these walls today and be empowered, equipped, and encouraged to lead others, not just by what we say, but how we're conducting our lives. In Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.